You're listening to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the DFS Karma Podcast Network. Now here's your host with the most, Jack Caparuccio.
And welcome back to the No Cap Podcast, powered by the Karma Media Network. I'm your host, Jack Caparuccio, aka Clinic Cap on Twitter. This is episode number 4 of the No Cap Podcast. Today we're going over my redraft news, strategy, top 10 wide receivers on the year, dynasty trade strategies, best ball undervalued running backs, and some of my favorite NFL player futures for the season. Let's get right into it. So to start off, I wanted to cover the breaking news on Travis Etienne. If you haven't heard yet, he's out for the season with a foot injury. I believe it's a Lisfranc, and he's going to have surgery. The expectation is a 6 to 9 month recovery time, so he should be good to go for 2022. But that's obviously a huge shakeup for the fantasy football world. For those of you who have been drafting James Robinson, now you have likely a high-end RB2 to low-end RB1 for your fantasy roster. And those of you who have drafted Etienne, you're stuck holding the bag, unfortunately. This can happen sometimes in preseason and the regular season. This stuff happens year-round. Injuries are always unfortunate, and it stinks to see a guy as talented as him start his career like this. But there's unfortunately nothing we can do about it. So I wanted to go over that and talk about some of the fantasy impacts it has. So beyond James Robinson, who's an obvious draft now, I would be targeting him in the second round of my drafts. You need to be looking at Carlos Hyde as a bench stash. Urban Meyer has already shown that he's been giving him carries. You know, even if we don't want to give him carries, Carlos Hyde seems to be, a thorn in the side of running backs ahead of him every single year. He gets these incessant carries and has fantasy relevant games. So I would stash him, and especially in the event that something would happen to James Robinson, Carlos Hyde would become an easy streamer and likely somebody you'd be running to your waiver wire for. But I'm also thinking that this is going to give a PPR bump for Laviska Shenault, their second-year wide receiver. And that's because they've been putting him into that kind of Debo Samuel role, move him around the offense, give him the short screens, the jet sweep type of things, and let him work. I've always seen Shenault as a guy like Debo, but he's obviously bigger and I think more talented. So I would be bumping him up my rankings as well because I do think they're going to manufacture more touches for him, and he becomes more valuable because of that. So going into the next segment, I asked a question on Twitter. Which player will everyone be blowing their FAB budget or waiver priority on by week 2? And if you're not familiar with FAB budget, that's free agent acquisition budget, which is just, you get like $100, let's call it dollars, $100 to start the year. So, when a good waiver wire gem emerges, you say, I'm going to spend 10% of my budget on them. You bid on them. If somebody bids 11% of their budget, then they get that player. And waiver priority is more traditional where, it's based off the league standings usually. So, if somebody's dead last in the league, they have the highest priority. If you're first in the league, you have the lowest priority, and that's how that works. So I wanted to get ahead of this a little bit because the guys that you're going to blow your FAB budget on, you might as well take them in the last round of your drafts. Why would you wait and think, this guy's got potential after week 1, I'm probably going to pick him up. Why not just draft him then? Take the last round pick on him. Punt on your defense and go around early on it, and then take a guy that you think has upside week 1 with your draft pick so that you don't have to blow your FAB budget or priority. And then you can save that for a more important week down the road. Maybe if one of your guys gets hurt and you need their backup or handcuff running back, then you can spend it on that. So I pulled some Twitter responses, and I kept my favorite ones to feature for the show. And the first one is Rondale Moore, the wide receiver for the Cardinals. He's a guy that I'm targeting with one of my last picks in my draft everywhere. And I've said on Twitter before, I think he has the potential to be the wide receiver 2 in this offense year 1. Christian Kirk has never impressed me. AJ Green is at the back half of his career and has already dealt with an injury in preseason. And we've already seen Moore do really well in the preseason. He's another type of guy like a Debo Samuel where I think they'll manufacture touches for him. I think he could be the key to unlocking the rest of this offense, and he'd be great mesh with Kyler Murray's skill set. So Moore's the type of guy who could have one big long touchdown week 1, and then everyone's going to the waiver wire for him. So I would get ahead on him and get him early. The next one is Nico Collins, a wide receiver out of University of Michigan who's on the Houston Texans. I believe he was a third round pick, and he's got a way better profile than some of his draft capital or even college production indicates. He's a guy that was kind of misused in the Michigan offense, as was Donovan Peoples-Jones, who came from there as well. And, you know, he doesn't have much competition for targets. He's got Brandon Cooks there, but we all know that Cooks, you know, gets banged up every so often. And I know the offense isn't really that exciting, but somebody has to catch passes. Nico Collins is the type of guy who I think could be a target hog and, you know, could honestly challenge for double-digit touchdowns as a rookie if everything hits right. So I'd be targeting him, leave him as a stash on your bench. Next one is his Michigan teammate, Donovan Peoples-Jones, who has flashed early in his career. He's shown that big play potential. But reports out of training camp for the Browns are that he is just dominating people. The Browns offense needs a wide receiver three to emerge. I know they're a run-heavy team, and this isn't the most exciting thing in the world, but they need that big play threat. I know that OBJ is coming back and reportedly healthy, but we've seen how that's worked out in years past. Donovan Peoples-Jones, the type of guy where if OBJ were to get hurt again or not produce, you know, the type of production they're expecting, that he really could take over that role as the deep threat guy, and maybe OBJ becomes more of a possession wide receiver. So I would target him. My last good target is Devontae Booker. And I think it's a mixture of things. So I'm not a guy who's, you know, out on Saquon Barkley by any means, because of the injury, but I would still caution against it since he's working his way back. I would stash Booker for week one, just because if week one gets announced and Saquon isn't going to have a full load or he's not going to play, then Booker becomes an immediate, you know, RB2 for your team. And if you're somebody who was a zero RB truther and you don't have a lot of running backs on your team, he'd be a great spot start for you. Or if Saquon does struggle to get back, then, you know, you could start him for longer. And I picked out one I thought was not ideal guy to target, and that's Sammy Watkins, somebody mentioned. I get it. Sammy Watkins has the, you know, week one 40-point game or whatever, then everybody scrambles to get him. But then week two, he throws up a dud or he gets hurt or whatever, and he's already hurt. He hasn't been practicing. So I would avoid Sammy Watkins. He's always fool's gold for fantasy football. He has 1 or 2 weeks, and then he's a bench spot, and you end up cutting him anyways. So my last part of the redraft segment is my top 10 wide receivers, and this is sorted by full PPR. I'm going to start going through my rankings at each position over the next couple of shows because I want to get you ready for your drafts, or if you've already drafted already, you can maneuver your trade wire and maybe acquire some of these guys. So this might be a little bit controversial, but my wide receiver one overall for the year in full PPR, and that's important to note because it's all about volume, is Calvin Ridley of the Falcons. And you might be thinking, oh, how can you have Davante Adams lower than him? And don't freak out, Adams is only 10 points lower than him on my projections. I'm going with Ridley because he's going to have massive target share. With Julio Jones gone, he is the wide receiver one in that offense, and he's a real good wide receiver one. In games without Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley actually performed better for fantasy football. And you extrapolate that over an entire season, and Ridley can be the wide receiver one overall for fantasy. And history tells us that the wide receiver one overall does not repeat year over year. It's very unlikely. And that brings me to my number two guy on the list, Davante Adams. Davante Adams will still be great. He's still an elite wide receiver, don't get me wrong. But he will have some touchdown regression. That whole offense will. The entire NFL will, because 2020 was a statistical outlier for offenses because of the COVID-shortened offseason where defenses couldn't prepare. The only comparable offseason was the 2011 NFL lockout where a bunch of passing records were set that year. So I'd expect regression to the mean for Adams, and that doesn't mean he's not going to have double-digit touchdowns. That just means he's not going to repeat what he did last year, but he's still an elite wide receiver. My third guy is Tyreek Hill. He's obviously attached to Patrick Mahomes, and you could argue he's the 1A or 1B to Travis Kelce in that offense. He's the type of guy that can completely win you a week, and I don't think there's really much debate there. My fourth guy on the list is Stephon Diggs. He's attached to another big arm quarterback in Josh Allen. He's his favorite target. There's not a ton of proven options outside of him as far as elite options go in that offense. So I would expect, you know, another great season out of him. My fifth guy is DeAndre Hopkins. My sixth is Keenan Allen, which might be a little bit spicy for you out there. But with Mike Williams already hurt again, I think Keenan Allen is kind of like a Calvin Ridley, where he can have this massive target share and an offense is going to pass. If you're projecting for Justin Herbert to get any better in the second year, which a lot of people are, then you should be all in on Keenan Allen. He hasn't been hurt in a while. He has kicked that injury-prone narrative. And I think he's being undervalued in drafts. Quite honestly, he's a guy that you could get later than all the rest, and he could still be your wide receiver one on your team. My seventh guy is Justin Jefferson. Now, I know some people have him in his top five, but I don't think he's going to completely repeat what he did as far as the pace. I still think he's going to be great. And I think what's going to happen is he'll be the wide receiver one, Thielen will be the two. So Justin Jefferson will probably get a little more target share than he did last year. And remember, he did not start the first two games of his rookie year because he was stuck behind Busy Johnson. So I still have him in my top 10. I'm not fading him by any means. My number 8 is Allen Robinson of the Bears. That might be a little higher than most people have him, but Robinson has done nothing but produce. He's always kind of that middling wide receiver one, you know, middle wide receiver two type of guy. But I do think his upside is better with Justin Fields. Robinson has been the definition of a target hog his entire career. So I think with the upside of somebody like Fields, whenever he does start in front of Andy Dalton, and he will, I think that that kicks Robinson in the upper echelon of wide receivers. My number 9 is DK Metcalf. This one was a little bit harder for me to project because obviously the Seahawks were the tale of two seasons. First half of last year, they were extremely pass heavy, the most in the league. Second half of last year, they weren't. And his production followed with that. He was volatile, as was Tyler Lockett, his teammate. So I put DK in my top 10 because I think he has that upside. He's one of those few guys in the league that has wide receiver one overall in his range of outcomes in terms of his talent, but the volume is going to have to fall his way. So I'm comfortable with taking him in my top 10, but some of you might not be. And to round out the 10 is Chris Godwin. So I know there's a lot of targets to feed in the Bucs offense. Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, list goes on with the running backs. But Chris Godwin, I feel, is the most talented wide receiver in this offense at this point in their respective careers. I think that he meshes really well with Brady. He had injury issues last year, but in the games he did play, he did really well. So I'm taking Godwin, and part of it is because there's a bit of a dip on him, I think. If you remember last year when Brady went to the Bucs, everyone said, oh, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, both top 10 wide receivers, because that's similar to what they did with Jameis Winston, and people saw Brady as an immediate upgrade, which of course he was, but that doesn't mean he's going to hyper-target one or two guys. But I'm throwing my dart on Chris Godwin to crack the top 10 out of that trifecta of wide receivers. So for my dynasty dish, I wanted to feature something I actually did yesterday, and that's buying the dip on Ja'Marr Chase. So a lot has been made out of Ja'Marr Chase's drops he's had, both in practice and in games. And I understand it. It's scary to watch, you know, a guy who went top 5 in the draft and you're saying, oh, he can't even catch a pass. But you have to remember, he took a year off of football. He opted out. He's going to have rust. And especially from going straight to the college, taking a year off and then going to the NFL, which is the highest level of competition in football, he's going to struggle at first. That's just naturally what's going to happen. If you took a year off from your job and then you sat back down at your computer the next day, you wouldn't remember your password, let alone how to catch a football. So I'm not really worried about his ability. I think he'll bounce back. And for Dynasty, I think this is one of the rare opportunities to get a guy who could be top 5 at his position in a few years at a relative discount compared to where he was going in the draft. He was top 5 in most rookie drafts you had. So if you didn't have one of those top picks, you didn't have a chance at him. While there is news coming out now of some off-the-field issues he's having, that does concern me. And that just came out today. So if Chase does have the off-the-field issues that haven't been confirmed by any reputable sources, then I'm staying away from him. But I made 3 trades yesterday in Dynasty to go acquire him. So at this point, if something goes wrong, then I'm stuck with him, which, you know, I'll take the shot on a high-talent prospect. But the character issues that are being talked about are certainly concerning. And you can go look those up on Twitter or Google. I'm sure you'll find them in a heartbeat. But I won't discuss them here on the pod. You can look them up. So the trades I made, these are all 12-team Superflex Dynasty full PPR leagues. And the first one is Rondale Moore and a 2022 first for Ja'Marr Chase and a 2022 third. The way I see it is I upgrade my profile wide receiver. Rondale Moore profiles more as a gadget guy, even though I think he's really good, as I talked about earlier on the show. But Ja'Marr Chase, like I said, profiles as a wide receiver one type. So I saw this as an immediate upgrade for me, and I move back 2 rounds, you know, in the next rookie draft, which I thought was worth the value. The second one is Mac Jones and 2 2022 thirds for Ja'Marr Chase. Now, when I made this trade, my league chat just lit up. They said, "Oh my gosh, why did this guy give Ja'Marr Chase away for pennies on the dollar?" And that's quite honestly how I felt about it. I offered for Ja'Marr Chase, and it was a totally different package, not even including Mac Jones. And the counteroffer came in with Mac Jones and 2 2022 thirds, and I smash accepted it. Because to me, the highest range of outcomes for Mac Jones in fantasy is for him to become like Kirk Cousins or a Derek Carr. And, you know, they can be a QB1 for fantasy, but they're not going to be league winners. They're not going to be guys that are super exciting. You know, he's going to put up 30 points, 35 points, and break the week for me. I just don't see that in his range of outcomes. Whereas, like I said with Chase, I see him as top five in his position someday. And the last trade I made was Irv Smith Jr. and Travis Etienne for Ja'Marr Chase in a 2022 second. Now, at the time, this I honestly didn't feel great about because I was higher on Etienne than a lot of people because of his pass-catching skill set. But fast forward today, and now Etienne is out for the year. It's unfortunate that the trade didn't work out for the other guy's side because, you know, I did feel like he was still getting a valuable piece. Now that piece is ruined for the year. And I never like when players get hurt. So I never like seeing that happen. Obviously, now you can look at the trade and say, well, he gave up Irv Smith for Ja'Marr in a 2022 second, essentially. So there you go. But obviously, at the time, that's not what was happening. So I think it was a pretty even trade when it went down. But obviously, Etienne is injured now, which changes things. For best ball today, I wanted to go over my undervalued running backs on Underdog Fantasy. But first, I want to know, are you on Underdog Fantasy yet? If you're not, use the code KARMA at sign up and get 5 free entries to the Puppy Tournament 3 with your chance at $250,000. That's right, 5 free entries. So what are you waiting for? That's like getting 5 free lottery tickets, except you get to play fantasy football with lottery tickets. It's super fun, so get on there. My first running back is Ronald Jones of Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who's being drafted as the RB34 on Underdog. Ronald Jones finished last season as the RB18 overall for fantasy in only 14 games played. While the Buccaneers' backfield is murky as to who will be a trustworthy fantasy starter week in, week out, it's not something you need to worry about in a best ball format. Jones easily has the highest upside of any running back in the Bucs backfield at this point in his career, but his ADP doesn't necessarily indicate that fantasy drafters feel the same way. Jones is currently going as the RB34 and 101.7 overall in best ball, and he's being drafted as an RB3, but likely to pay off as an RB2 with some boom weeks mixed in there. I'm drafting Jones with confidence because he's been good whenever he's been healthy, and he's got the highest upside of that backfield. My next is Melvin Gordon, who I've talked about a couple times in different articles, of the Denver Broncos, going as RB36. The reports out of camp are that Melvin Gordon is still RB1 in this backfield, in terms of the practice reps he's getting. With the Broncos paying Gordon a guaranteed $4.5 million this season, it's safe to assume that he'll be heavily involved in this offense, at least early on in the season. Gordon finished the 2020 season as the RB14 overall in just 15 games played. I'd be confident drafting Gordon at his RB3-4 price tag in drafts and having him pay off as a safe RB2 on your roster. While Javonte Williams will be involved in cutting Gordon's work, I still think he'll have standalone value. If you're generally concerned about Williams, draft both the Broncos running backs and stack them together. And my last undervalued running back is Philip Lindsay of the Houston Texans, who's going as the RB48. That's practically free. And I get it. The Texans' offense is going to be bad. No one is questioning that. However, someone in that backfield has to have the majority of the touches. With veteran David Johnson reportedly being phased into a Duke Johnson role in the offense, which is a scat back who, you know, gets some passing work on third down, and Lindsay taking the starter reps in training camp, I think Lindsay could very well end up being the running back you want on this backfield. And I know, again, that's not saying much. It's not saying the Houston Texans are going to be great. But when murky backfields emerge, value emerges with it, and you have to identify that guy. Bet on the guy you feel is most likely to take over running back room and reap the rewards from their discounted price tag and drafts. Lindsay has shown before he can be a productive fantasy running back during his previous stint with the Denver Broncos. I love Lindsay at his RB4-5 price tag, is somebody who could very well end up as a solid RB2. So for the betting portion, I'm going to review some NFL 2021 player futures. And these are all provided by DraftKings Sportsbook. So the odds and lines may change if you're looking at this at a different time or if you're on a different sportsbook. So my first future is Justin Fields to take Chicago Bears first snap in the 2021-2022 NFL regular season. The odds on this are +190 for yes. If you watch the Bears' first preseason game, then you saw just how significantly better rookie Justin Fields was than incumbent starter Andy Dalton. With the high draft capital invested into Fields and two more preseason games to go, I like the odds on this future bet that Fields will end up winning the starting job in training camp and taking the first snap for the Chicago Bears this season. So bet one unit on Justin Fields to take the first snap +190 to win 2.9 units. My next is Mac Jones to take the Patriots' first snap at +250. And I like this even more now with the reports that Cam Newton can't practice for 5 days. With Newton not there, Jones is getting almost all of the reps. And remember, Jarrett Stidham's out. He's got a back injury. He's not playing the whole preseason. He's going to be out for a while. So the only other quarterback on the roster is Brian Hoyer, who we know is not going to be the starter. He isn't in competition for starting reps, and he's just there to be a safety valve backup in case something goes wrong. So this is the time for Mac Jones to get it. This is it. This is his audition over the next couple of days. And much like his fellow draft class quarterback, Justin Fields, Jones, I think, has looked better from the start than Cam Newton. While Newton has shown improvement from last year, he looks more sharp, his arm strength looks better. I think Jones has run the offense more efficiently and looked more poised in the pocket than Newton has, who we could see quickly relegated career backup duties. Jones has a few more weeks to get comfortable in this offense, and the future of the franchise seems to be now for the Alabama product. Bet one unit on Mac Jones to take the first snap at +250 to win 3.5 units. My last bet is Drew Lock to take the Denver Broncos' first snap, and this is -130, yes. In just one game of preseason action that I watched, Lock looked like the better quarterback in the current training camp battle between him and Teddy Bridgewater. While it's only preseason, the Broncos are much more likely to give the guy they invested significant recent draft capital in the benefit of the doubt to begin the season. Remember, Lock was a second-round pick. Bridgewater was traded for peanuts and has a small contract at this point in his career. So Lock, they obviously want to work out more than Bridgewater. I think he presents the higher upside of the two quarterbacks, and if he were to play well, he would get the start. What happens after that start remains to be seen. Drew Lock could start, and then week two, he's not the start. I could fully see that happening. So bet one unit on Drew Lock to take the first snap at -130 to win 1.3 units. That's it for today's show. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at ClinicCap. And if you like the show, be sure to subscribe or follow the show anywhere podcasts can be found so you never miss an episode.
Thank you for listening to the No Cap Podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review anywhere podcasts can be found.